com today.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply. It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We've got more important stuff to talk about today, you know. We did a show last week, actually Friday of last week, talking about how access to healthy food is actually going to be blocked by the American government. And the issues related to the food chain and access to food have been covered by my guest today. He's been on the show before. He is the author of Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors, Randy Roach. How you doing, Randy?
Very good today, Carl. Thanks.
You know, this is nothing new, actually. Huh? I mean, through history, the government has tried to intervene and, well, I don't think it's government. I think it's big industries using government as a puppet to achieve their goals, which is to control the food chain.
Yeah, I think... Well, we did a show, I think on the Hunza, I mentioned in 1938 that Dr. G.T. Wrench was already stating that the government was claiming they can't feed their population and they have to rely on other people. And that wasn't necessarily true. The globalization process was underway for many years, and the agenda of the globalization process was basically to take away the independence, number one, the sovereignty of each nation, but the independence of each nation. Every nation would have to become dependent on every other nation, and Britain was following suit, and the biggest problem was the United States.
Why were we the biggest problem? Because we were so self-sufficient, or?
Exactly. Yeah, everything was made in the United States. It was a superpower, industrial superpower. Even Japan in World War II said they couldn't believe the industrial might of the United States of America. So the global architects, and this is not conspiracy, this is well documented, and it's been going on through the whole century, the 20th century, beginning with the League of Nations, the United Nations, the Royal Institute of International, I can't remember the acronym of that one, the Council, it used to be when you say they stuff with the Council on Foreign Relations and Trilateral Commission, everybody would yell conspiracy, but it's not now. They're openly talked about, you know, Larry King, one of the guys I know talked about them being part of these councils and commissions, and they're not American organizations, they're global organizations and global incentives, and they're run by the power brokers, the people with the money behind the money, the banks.
That's what it is, right.
Yeah, you go back and you'll see these powerful families go back to the, you know, the Federal Reserve Act of 1913, and who has the power to do many of these things? In Volume 1, I introduced Congressman Eugene Cox and Congressman Carol Reese. They, in the early 1950s, wanted to investigate these tax shelters, Ford, Guggenheim, and Rockefeller. You know, they're never being audited. Massive amounts of money was being funneled to these structures, and where was it going? And many things were discussed. Eugene Cox died, and that's why Carol Reese picked it up, I think, in 1951.
Didn't Cox die mysteriously or something?
Probably. Anybody who'd ever called for an auditing of the Federal Reserve has apparently had a heart attack or a plane crash, so it's not surprising that happened. It doesn't matter. Carol Reese, it got swept under the carpet pretty fast with him, but he was taken behind closed doors, and he's done some writing. I gotta track it down again, because he talked about many things that were told to him. But I didn't want to get too far down that rabbit trail in Volume 1, and I only introduced the testimony of Norman Dodd, who was an expert at that time in the early 50s on tax shelters. And I just quoted him in his testimony where he said that the vast majority of the American people have no idea who's in charge of their education system and the indoctrination process of that education system. And again, there's much material that has been written, tons of material written on this process. Bill Clinton's favorite professor, he used to quote him all the time, Dr. Carol Quigley. He wrote a 1,000-page book called Tragedy and Hope, I think back in the mid-60s. who, this man was, I think, he was an expert in finance, and he worked for these global architects, and he wrote this book, and he's saying he agrees. He agreed, basically agrees with the globalization process. He said they, of all the research and the social studies they've done, they believe that they did not take control on a global level, that there would be a, basically an economic implosion in the middle of this century. The thing he said he did not agree with was that they chose to do it in a covert fashion. And he said it would probably be less violent that way, because the United States, basically, your Congress never signed on to the League of Nations. After World War One, when the, I think 1919, 1920 in that area, when they came up the League of Nations, your Congress never signed on. They didn't need a League of Nations. Bob Hoffman, in his Better Nutrition book, and I quoted him, he was referencing the League of Nations dietary guidelines back when he wrote his book in 1940.
Now, and that's why this is important. We're talking about this. You know, there's, I love Lou Dobbs. Lou Dobbs, actually, my wife Deborah really got me to start listening to Lou Dobbs on CNN. And Lou Dobbs is kind of a maverick. I mean, he talks about the New World Order, and he talks about things that are almost conspiratorial that are going on in the United States. And the reason that this is important is because the he who controls the food controls the population, correct?
Exactly. Yeah, I used to laugh at Lou because he kept throwing his arms up in the air, wondering what's going on, I was going to say, Lou, why don't you just call it what it is? It's criminality going on. He was the first guy I heard on mainstream media break the North American Union, which is quite interesting because we sat over here in North America watching the European Union and the euro being constructed over the past 15, 17 years and thinking, well, it's never going to happen here. Well, it would be so stupid. Of course it's happening over here. They're just not telling it's not, happening over here. It's called the North American Union, and this goes the Amero. But exactly, the globalization process started a long time ago, and you're right. One of the agendas was to take control of the food supply.
Now, weren't they gutting? At one time, there was this illusion that there wasn't enough food, but weren't they actually burning whole crops in order to create a shortfall so that they... Am I wrong about that?
No, they've constantly done that, dumping the sugar and the coffee in the oceans in the early 70s for price hikes, but... What's more interesting, like to research more, is what we've done to the third world countries. Like third world countries, I'm using the label too. Who labeled them third world countries? These were, you know, in Africa we call it third world country, you know, but it's what we've done to these countries. Like the cultures that Price studied, he was very fortunate to still grab them before we had destroyed them all. Because our encroachment, civilization's encroachment on these cultures is basically forced our way on these people and destroyed them. And there's talk about the destruction of their farming process and their animals. And we were sold a bill of goods that we had to feed the world. And we have North America probably truly has enough farmland if properly biodynamically farmed, could feed the solar system, let alone the planet. But we turned it all into mono farming. We turned it all into soy, wheat, and corn. And this goes back decades, and these commodities were basically turned into that, international trading commodities, and this food was used to leverage against other countries. And look at, can you find any foods today that don't have one of those three products?
You can't find anything that doesn't have some form of corn in it today.
No, then they come up with the insane, I mean, absolutely insane notion that they're going to use corn for ethanol.
Fuel.
And to further exasperate the problem, because you're just destroying our land, they're raping the land of the minerals and its resources, and they're putting
Isn't it all because these big companies like Arthur Daniel Midland and Cargill and all these big companies are just so money-hungry and corrupt that they don't care about the people, they just care about getting the people's money? And so, I mean, because the truth of the matter is, we already talked about this numerous times on the show, these carbohydrate-laden diets are the reason that we have disease, you know, age-related disease and degenerative disease in North America today.
The carbohydrate diet was forged upon our culture. It was pushed upon our culture with it. Especially, they strove hard for that during the 1950s because they, with the lipid hypothesis, it was a lie. It was like our whole, basically, I usually don't swear on the radio, but it's a bullshit culture. And most of this stuff is just bullshit that we're fed through the whole dietary landscape has changed over the past 50 years dramatically, primarily based on what I just said, corn, soy, wheat. Corn, soy, wheat. Why? Because fats and cholesterol are going to kill you. And they had never had any proof of that.
Well, wait a second. I learned from you, from reading the first volume of Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors, that the man who spearheaded founding the American Heart Association, Dr. Paul Dudley White, claimed that there were no myocardial infarctions in the 1800s.
There were. He said he had not heard of one when he was just had graduated.
Right.
They've been dissecting bodies for centuries, and they have noticed plaque. There's always some type of plaque, but death through myocardial infarction was at the Weston Price. When in his research, I believe he used the New York Department of Health statistics from 1907 to 1936 or 37. In that 20-year span, he saw the mortality rate from cancer and heart disease go from like 6% right up to over 30%. Now, there was no vast increase in our consumption of cholesterol and saturated fats. What's happened is, like, Paul Dudley White, I believe he's also had something to do with introducing, not inventing, but introducing the electrocardiogram
right.
to the United States also. What was changing is the dietary fat wasn't necessarily being lowered in terms of percentage of macronutrient, but it was changing dramatically. It was being switched from saturated fat to polyunsaturated fat.
And hydrogenated oils.
Hydrogenated oils. That's correct. And the consumption of refined sugars also went through the roof.
And see, that's where the magic is, because what a lot of people don't realize is their consumption of carbohydrates contribute to the elevation in unhealthy cholesterol. Because no one puts this together, but if you think of the word triglycerides, the glyceride portion comes from glucose, and it has nothing to do with the fats in your diet. It has to do with the excess amount of carbohydrates in your diet that are actually contributing to the elevation of cholesterol. But we're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about statistics, because this is something that I've gotten into recently with a couple people who claim that we live longer today than our forefathers did. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We're talking to Randy Roach, author of Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors. We'll be right back. Selective androgen receptor modulators represent the future of hormone replacement therapy. Institutions looking to perform research depend upon the potency and authenticity of the materials they buy. That's why your institution needs to trust Chemex for their SARMS materials. Go to chemx.net today for SARMS S4 for your research project. Don't trust the success of your project to questionable sources. Trust chemx.net. That's chemx.net. Chemex.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
A company committed to truth in advertising, to science-driven product development, a company that still believes in accountability to its customers. All American EFX is that company. With a full line of performance-enhancing aids like Crealkaline EFX Pro, muscle pump amplifiers like Nitric EFX, growth and recovery enhancers like LBA Pro and LG5 Pro, and a fully tested core nutrition series. So if you want the very best in bodybuilding and performance supplements, go to any GNC or visit AAEFX.com today. That's AAEFX.com. All American EFX. We don't play games. We just help you win them. Turinabol from PrimordialPerformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at PrimordialPerformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol.
The federal government is more aggressive than ever prosecuting anabolic steroid-related cases. Whether you're a physician, supplement company, or citizen, ignorance of the law is not a defense. buying from overseas pharmacies, large numbers of patients on hormone replacement therapy, and releasing new hormone-based supplements can all be red flags to the federal government. Don't take chances. You need attorneys that have years of experience defending anabolic steroid-related cases. You need J. Clark Baird and Bill Butler. Knowledge is power. Know where you stand before the federal government comes knocking. Go to SteroidDefenseLawyers.com. That's SteroidDefenseLawyers.com. Go today and be safer tomorrow. Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Some live for the bill, some kill for the bill. Yeah. She whine for the bill, grind for the bill.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Dollar dollar bill, y'all. That's what it's all about. It's all these manufacturers want. But at Superhuman Radio, you can get free stuff. Go to superhumanradio.com on the homepage and you can get a ton of free things. We're giving away free samples of Gamma O, raises testosterone naturally. Concrete, this unique molecule of creatine that is absorbed faster than any other creatine on the market. Ibunex, which is a topical ibuprofen product. And, of course, Drive, which is a stimulant-free pre-workout supplement. Just go to superhumanradio.com, go down to the free stuff area, click on the links, put in your information, and they will send you free trial samples of all of these products. And, of course, at Superhuman Radio, you never have to pay shipping and handling. Otherwise, it wouldn't be free, right? Right, Randy? It wouldn't be free then.
You cover all that yourself?
What do you mean?
You cover all that shipping and handling?
No, they do. The manufacturers. I tell them, look, man, I want to give my listeners free stuff. And I'll be glad to give them your free stuff, but it has to be free.
Oh, yeah. What am I talking about? I was already part of that, wasn't I?
Yeah, you gave away half a dozen books, right, for people who made suggestions on the show.
Yeah, to China.
Well, no, one was to... Wait, let me get this straight. I can't remember.
I sent one halfway around the world. Where'd that one go?
One was to Israel.
Israel.
One was to Israel. Nice guy in Israel. I want to say one was to somewhere else in the Eastern Bloc. And then one right to Canada, actually. That was a short hop.
Yeah, it was a bit.
But anyway, you know, Randy, one of the things that frustrates the hell out of me, and I think you and I talked about this before the interview, it's... People are under this impression that in the 1700s and 1800s, lifespan was shorter, and today lifespan is longer, and thus eating the way we eat today is better and healthier for us. And that's what the medical orthodoxy holds up in front of people. They say that. Well, lifespan is longer today. They promote that message.
Yeah, it's another facade. Most of them... the big question is how many of them really know better and how many don't. It's the misuse of statistics. Statistics are great for many things, including deceiving people. And everybody thinks that at turn of the century, you hit 40, you bellied up dead. That was it. But that's not the case. People were living long lives. Unfortunately, at that time, because of ridiculous situations such as the distillery dairies, the mortality death, for infant mortality death, was enormous. Even young women were dying at childbirth. Doctors weren't even washing their hands in between deliveries until just over the turn of the century. So you had a lot of deaths of young women and children. And then you calculate that into the year statistics. Just like you said before, Carl, if you got... You know, somebody lives, you know, dies at birth, and people live at 80. You're going to say, "Oh, the average
right.
spends 4 years
if,
old."
If you have 1,000 people in a community, born to a community, and half of them die in their childhood, and the other half live to 80, then the average lifespan of that particular population is going to be in the 40s, even
That's
though the
right.
people who lived longer lived into their 80s.
When you look at, too, if you want to study history and you look into the many of the cultural perspectives of antiquity, you're going to see tremendous lifespans that are obviously controversial, but they're there. And like I said, we ignore everything. We just ignore our history. And I mean, I question much of our history in terms of what we're taught. And as Norman Dodd said, the indoctrination of our education system. And what histories have been destroyed in the Alexandrian libraries centuries back. You know, because there's a lot of things like that. We had that other show in the Hunza. We can't explain the pyramid, the Cheops. We can't explain those aqueducts of the Andes. There's so much phenomena on this planet we can't explain. We can't duplicate it. But we didn't even talk about it.
Well, you know, I even shared this with you. I was at a party, a fella's birthday party this weekend, and I try to avoid talking about this sort of stuff because I become very animated, and I'm a zealot, you know, and I'm very frustrated with people's ignorance about the right way to eat, because most people, you know, it's not even intuitive any longer for people to eat the way they're supposed to eat. It's been bred out of us. And so I contacted my friend Dr. Lauren Cordain over at the University of Colorado, and he's one of the original authors of the Paleolithic Diet. And he's kind of like a nutritional anthropologist, if you will. And I said, what do you do when people challenge the paleo diet and say, look, if it was so great, why wouldn't people live longer back then? They only lived, you know, according to the Wikipedia, people in the paleo era lived into their 30s. And he said this was such a chronic problem for his group. They actually wrote a peer-reviewed paper and published it back in 2002. It's called The Evolutionary Health Promotion, A Consideration of Common Counter-Arguments. And the takeaway, I just want to read two little passages from it. It says, since the appearance of behaviorally modern humans perhaps 50,000 years ago, and particularly since the Neolithic Revolution of 10,000 years ago, cultural evolution has proceeded more rapidly than the genetic evolution, thereby producing ever greater disassociation between the way we actually live and the lifestyles for which our genome was originally selected. Now, when I said to him, but people died younger in those days, and he said, no, they didn't die younger. He said, statistically, lifespans were shorter, and he said exactly what you said, because there were many more. It was very common for children to die before 2 years old. We're talking about very, very tough conditions. We're talking about living outside. We're talking about natural predators preying on humans the way they prey on animals. And guess what? Who's the slowest? Who's the easiest to catch? A child.
I highly doubt that the old guys kept any statistics on their lifespan. And possibly the only people that are doing that are the more Western civilizations. When we came to these plains, our food was even compromised. They were bringing food supplies. But well, you don't have to go back to millennia to look at these Paleolithic eaters. Just look at the works of our North American Indians before we got
the
here.
Plains Indians,
look
right.
At the Eskimo. Look at the Hunza. Look at the Polynesians, the Melanesians. They were eating like, they're still were eating like that until we got there and totally compromised them. Just about every single corner of the planet, we've compromised them within the past 100 years. They were eating the same way for centuries and centuries and centuries. You know, there's doctors and medical practitioners just say only a few years ago would say you can't eat coconut oil. It's going to kill you. It's going to give you heart attacks. But totally ignorant of the fact that Polynesians in the South Sea Islands had 60% of their diet is fat through coconut oil and palm kernel oil, total saturated fat. They'd never heard of heart disease until they met us.
Yeah, until McDonald's.
Yeah, till we bring our white bread, canned meat, pasteurized milk into the, you know, we go in with the ships and bring our foods. And, you know, because the blood sugars can be altered in these Inuit tribes and addictions can be created very easily, it was easy to disrupt them. And that's why you'll see, like, tendencies with alcohol and stuff like that. And you'll see that with a lot of people who tend to be do well on low carbohydrate diet, that they can have a tendency to be addicted to alcohol.
Well, one of the things that Cordain's group points out in this paper that's very clear, he says, look, you know, age-related diseases don't take hold until the latter parts of life. So, you know, 75 to 80 years old. He said, but those diseases, the seeds of those diseases start early on. And he said, if you look at the children of today, and look for biomarkers, and you look at the children of Paleolithic human beings that they've, you know, anthropologists have examined, you see that those children back then did not have any of the biomarkers that children today have. The biomarkers at as early as 2 and 3 years old.
Yeah,
for diabetes and heart disease and inflammatory disease and all these other diseases that really don't compromise them until they're 40 and 50 and later.
No, they didn't even exist back then.
That's right.
They are modern industrialized diseases. Price's book was called Nutrition and Physical Degeneration. It should have been called Nutrition and Physical and Psychological Degeneration because, you know, they used to call it adult onset diabetes. You had type 1 born with a diabetes mellitus. But they used to call it adult onset. They don't. They just call it type 2 now. Why? Because kids at 9, 10 years old are obese and they're getting diabetes at that age. Because we're getting weaker. Price noticed we are getting weaker. Francis Pottinger doing anthropometric measurements saying our whole skeletal structures were morphing male and female, and we are each subsequent generation is getting weaker. And they found that with the cats, they predicted sterility. Remember when Pottinger did his research?
Right, with cooked meats and pasteurized milk versus raw meats and raw milk, right?
Yeah, that was at a time when we had orphanages coming out of our wazoo. You know, now, and they predicted the sterility. Look at today. Look at it. Look what the sterility clinics you got today. They predicted that decades and decades ago because they said we must maintain the integrity of our food supply. And it was being over in England. The researchers are saying the same thing, but we had this full court plowing ahead with technology and huge corporations swallowing up. They are just swallowing up small farming, and they are making it impossible for the small farmer. I think Dr. Ron Schmidt wrote in his book, The Untold Story of Milk, that over 2 million small dairy farms have been lost since the 1950s.
The upstate New York area is being hit very hard right now in the raw dairy area. The raw dairy farmers up there are being besieged. I mean, it's
they don't want
everywhere.
It. The governments do not want it. It is antithetical to the globalization process. A raw milk situation demands a cottage indigenous industry. They
right.
don't want that.
They don't want decentralization. They want centralization. They want all the food coming from one or two places. They do not want. And that's the real problem, because the reality is it's healthier to buy your foods from a local farm where you know where it's grown. You see the cows. You see the conditions. And then you don't have these problems where you have recalls all over the nation. If there is a problem, you have a problem that is sequestered to a small area and the customers of that farmer, as opposed to what just happened with the Peanut Company of America or the spinach guys, not too long ago, where they're poisoning the whole nation instead of just a group of families up the street.
You got far superior soils because they're not raping the land. A biodynamic farmer, his whole farm is an ecosystem. It lives off itself. He rotates the farm. The soils are rich. The life, it begins in the soil. Like in Volume 1, Sir Albert Howard, he said he threw away his education that he attained in London. He was knighted for his work. And he learned from the peasants. He learned from the insects and the fungus on the plants were indicators. Nature's little pharmacologist, agriculturist. You know, it was the life began in the soil. And his animals, when they ate those healthy plants, his animals could rub noses with hoof and mouth animals and never get sick. But she gets into the power of the inner terrain.
Yeah.
It's totally everything different than what our culture is basically indoctrinated into.
Tell me about, now you mentioned something on the phone the other day that in Canada, if you are growing herbs for medicinal purposes, it's against the law now?
No, I heard there's a bill they're pressing that because they don't want anything, like even all in North America, you can't make any claims. Like, I mean, because the medical field says they're the only ones that can treat disease or they don't even can make these claims with drugs. So you can't make any of those claims, first of all, on food packages.
Right.
So up here, I was told that I haven't followed up further, that there was a bill being pressed that if you are growing herbs in a garden fashion in your home and you're going to use them in a medicinal fashion, it will become a federal offense.
Yeah, but you just don't have to admit that you're using them medicinally. I mean, why?
I contend that they are going to ban home gardens.
That's what I was going to ask you. Do you
think it sounds as insane as it sounds? I will go a step further and say they'll be able to manipulate our culture to beg for it, because they'll scare the crap out of them. The same what they're doing with this E. coli stuff. Only in America, North America, can you get your population to beg your government to mandate subjecting your food to radiation. That's the level of
You know what? But don't you know why that is, Randy? I have an opinion on that.
I think that
we, as a species, we are arrogant, and we believe that somehow we are stronger, better, smarter than Mother Nature. And we don't believe, we think everything that we come up with is better than what we find in nature. So I don't think people realize the damage that radiation does. I don't think people realize the damage that pasteurization does. I mean, I say it over and over again. Drinking pasteurized milk is akin to eating roadkill. Milk is a living food, so you kill it first, then you take it and put it in your refrigerator and you let it fester there until you want to. It's like going out and saying, hey honey, I found this possum on the side of the road, not sure how long it's been dead, let's cook it and let you and the kids eat it tonight. But they don't get it, because people, by and large, are arrogant. We believe that we can eat crap and that we'll just take a pill and it cures everything.
Yeah, we'll plug it later with pills. And like I said, this is the pharmaceutical industry, and the medical industry is guilty of firing at the stuff with drugs. The alternative medicine field became just as guilty as firing at it with supplements. Like they're far less dangerous, but I mean, there's nobody left championing the soils. That's the big thing. When technology came along and gave us the supplements, great. But I mean, there was hardly anybody, nobody would have cared about championing the soils, because the excuse came with the take supplements was, because the soils are depleted. Well, let's go replete them.
Yeah, replete them, right.
Let's spend that effort and money and fix our soils, because you're never going to plug the holes afterwards, because the arrogance is going to rapidly yield to ignorance. And because even Marlo is a brilliant man, Marlo DePasquale in biochemistry, right? He's honest. He goes, you know, you think you're getting a handle on, like, he can wrap off the Krebs system and everything, the Krebs cycle. You know,
right.
You try to remember that crap from school. Holy
right.
smokes. He said, you just think you're getting a handle, and you turn a corner and you go, wow. There's a whole other level of complexity.
Yeah.
And he says, it is humbling. You know, it is humbling. And, but, like, you're right. We have such an arrogance. I think the arrogance is basically superseded on top yet by criminality. It's again.
Well, that's the real issue, and that's the real issue right there. I mean, I'm actually meeting with one of the congressmen for the one of the districts here.
That's awesome.
Yeah, because I want to sit down. You know, I feel like the he's being influenced by lobbyists who are backing up special interest groups. Well, in order to get the appointment, I had to talk to his the person who makes his appointments, and I said, look, I said, my special interest group is my health. I'm not making money here. I want him to understand the importance of availability of raw milk and the availability of healthy, nutritious foods, and it's going to impact me and you and his family and so on and so forth. I'm not looking to make money at it. I'm looking to protect my health.
Yeah, when Dr. Hodges Bonnet Planets and his crew, they spent lobbying in Washington. They were there a long time to get a federal raw milk bill. And like guys like Ron Paul were very open. In fact, they were quite surprised when they were given time. They could always persuade, but they said in California, Dianne Feinstein, he said their group are hostile, very hostile.
Well, they know better. They know better. Listen, Randy, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll pick up more of this information. We're talking today with Randy Roach, author of Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors. Now it's going to be a 3-volume book. It's getting bigger and bigger every minute. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of.
buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. We all know how effective amino acid supplements are. Well, get ready to be shocked. Amino acid supplements just reached a new level of strength. Say hello to Gear. Gear is super concentrated, super potent, and so bioavailable, it's equivalent to injectable amino acids. Gear is best used between meals to keep nitrogen balances tilted towards anabolism. Gear causes an increase in anabolic signaling that tells your muscles it's time to grow. Get Gear today by visiting needtobuildmuscle.net. Gear. This ain't your daddy's amino acid supplement. Natadrol is an extremely potent, natural, muscle-building androgenic activator. Natadrol contains four unique extracts that unleash and amplify androgen receptors to a level only thought possible by steroids. While Natadrol is hormonal, it should not make users test positive for performance-enhancing agents. Natadrol will transform your physique, increase strength, nutrient repartitioning, and subcutaneous water loss, leading to a harder, denser, stronger appearance. Choose LG Sciences Natadrol to fuel your growth, intensity, stamina, libido, and drive. LG Sciences Natadrol is available in both single bottles and as part of the Natabolic Stack found at bodybuilding.com, DPS Nutrition, and other fine retailers. Visit LGSciences.com today to learn more. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com. Selective androgen receptor modulators represent the future of hormone replacement therapy. Institutions looking to perform research depend upon the potency and authenticity of the materials they buy. That's why your institution needs to trust Chemex for their SARMS materials. Go to chemx.net today for SARMS S4 for your research project. Don't trust the success of your project to questionable sources. Trust chemx.net. That's chemx.net. Chemex.net.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
No fighting.
We got the refugees.
No fighting. No fighting. Shakira, Shakira.
I never really knew that she could dance like this. Hey. She make a man wanna speak Spanish. Como se llama?
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We did a show about a week and a half ago about a study that came out of the University of Illinois that showed that whey protein isolated from milk is the most anabolic when compared to egg, soy, or wheat protein. And the best whey protein out there is American whey. It tastes great. It has a very, very high protein content. It has no fat, no lactose. And most importantly, economically, it's the best value on the market. Go to American Whey, that's American, W-H-E-Y.com, to learn more about American Whey protein powder. We're talking today with Randy Roach, author of Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors. This is a must-have book. This book can help arm you to better understand what it's going to take to save your own life. Because a lot of people think this book is just about bodybuilding. It's not about bodybuilding. It's about the nutritional contributions of physical culture. And those nutritional contributions are what we are about to lose today. We're going to lose access to health. We've already lost a lot of access. Right, Randy? I mean, we've lost access to raw milk. We've lost access to certain supplements. I mean, it's occurring at a very rapid rate now.
Canada, it's I can't get certain things that I could 20 years ago. I say certain amino acids and Canada's the only G8 country in the world that has basically locked the doors right down on milk right across the board. We have to just go get it. I tell people, look at, forget, it's not a law. They have no right with that law, and I don't recognize it. If the farmers want to sell to me, I'll go drink in the middle of City Hall. I don't care. You know, it's ridiculous. Like, they don't have the right. We know it's not for our own good. They're doing it for the benefactors are, like you said, large corporations, and we are losing that right. As we said earlier in the show, the entire dietary landscape has been altered in the past 50 years. And where food is growing, it's, you know, the indigenous food supply is being broken up, and it's all coming from, and we're going to have bigger problems when you have an incident, because you have one or two central places supplying hundreds of thousands of people, or possibly millions of people, where the, if you have an incident, it's going to be, it could be catastrophic, as opposed to localized, right? And a localized situation, if you're not, it's those large industries that are compromising, taking shortcuts. It's not the small guy.
No, it's not.
He's not dumping. He knows how to put manure on his soil, not his plants.
Yeah, right.
You know,
because
like,
he's probably doing it by hand on top of it. He's not doing it with some giant machine.
They're brilliant. Some of these farmers are brilliant. The organic and biodynamic farmers, they have an understanding far, far superior than anybody else. And many of these large farm organizations, it's all chemicals. And they don't understand food. They don't understand the intrinsic power of food. And they just look at it still as calories. You know, the FDA, even going, sorry, the USDA, you know, when even vitamins were burgeoning, it took them a long time before they would just recognize there was something other than carbohydrates, proteins, and fats.
Right.
Energy foods. There's constituents. We still don't know what they are. You know, when the arrogance of, we only need breast. In the 1950s, they were literally claiming they could do better than breast milk. That was the level of stupidity.
Arrogance. It's arrogance.
Yeah, it was stupidity. You can call it arrogance, but I mean, it just begs the question. You know, how much damage did they do? Because they're still finding out today, oh, we didn't know that was in there. So we better go get that in from a process point of view, right?
But it is arrogance. It's arrogance to think that we are smarter than nature. You know, we can do it better than nature. It's arrogance. In my opinion, it's arrogance.
It is a lot of arrogance, but again, where's the line? I think there's a fine line often between stupidity and arrogance.
Yeah,
it's but
well, I think
right.
it, I think,
right.
I think in order, I'll tell you what, I'll say it this way: I think that in order to allow arrogance to drive your decisions, is stupidity.
Yeah, because it just rationale and common sense should have just been there. Like the. It was only in the driving or governing aspects of medicine. Like we said, much of the brilliant doctors, McCarrison was an Orthodox doctor, Price was an Orthodox dentist, but with, you know, they had a lot of the same foundational education. Francis Potter was an Orthodox doctor. These guys took it upon themselves. See, what really makes me angry is the people today saying, oh, they weren't strict on the scientific method, double blind study. Come on, give me a break. Those guys were operating in a far less politically polluted environment than what's going on today. What's going on today is a farce.
Right.
Absolute conflicts of interest. You don't know if people are researchers or manufacturers at the time at the university levels. These guys back then, McCarrison, Pottinger, Price, even Stephanson, who was an anthropologist, they were looking for truth.
I was just going to say, they had no product to sell.
No,
their research didn't go, and the solution to this problem is this product. That's how you can abolish immediately where the smoke is and the mirrors are. It's like if you look at this research and it points you in this one direction only, it says, oh, well, you know, this is the only thing that will work. Then you have to then look who's funding that study. You have to look at who benefits from that study.
And like I said, the studies today are ridiculous. They run them 6 weeks, 12 weeks. Like I said, at least those guys back then knew to run them through gestations and several generations to show the pregnancies, because you have to see where the compromise comes from when the fetus is developing. Into the womb, early development outside the womb, that's where it's going to show immediately, not when you're an adult.
Right.
I mean, we've already proven we can be quite resilient. It explains why we have this myriad or this spectrum of health in our society, why some people are getting contracting diseases in their adulthood while others are not. And a lot of it has to do with how healthy they were born and how healthy their parents were and how they were raised. Because if we went and took an islander, you know, and who was born pretty strong and sturdy with a good nutrition all the way through to an adult, a lot of those guys can get away with quite a bit, you know, because they have a pretty strong bodily constitution. But there are people who are just born weaker, and they'll succumb much faster than the average person to certain things.
A listener emailed me this morning. His name is Tyler. And he sent me an email. He said, Carl, I saw a study that Good Morning America brought to light this morning that claimed red meat is bad for you and increases your risk of dying from cancer. He says, I don't necessarily agree with this, but I wanted to get your feedback on this. Do you care to give us your thoughts? Thanks, and I love your show. And thank you for listening to the show, Tyler. I eat red meat every single day, at least one meal.
I don't even pay attention to those studies anymore.
Well, you know,
once upon a time I did. I was, when I was young and naive, and my head was up my rear end. You know, Arthur Jones, I said, you know, love him or hate him, I think he was right. 95% of what you read and hear is mostly bullshit. And he's, and I would believe them. And I ran around, you know, like a chicken with his head cut off. Following this, following that, believing this, and trying to reconcile it with the contradictions, and then just banging my head against the wall to the point where they're nonsense. A lot of the stuff is just nonsense, or it's not complete. The research is not complete, or they're looking at it from the wrong perspective, or anything like that. Yeah, you know, yeah, I know.
Well,
where you're
here, but here's what I would say. I mean, look, I'm not a scientist, and I don't propose to spend the amount of time to compile the research and overlay it and examine it and extrapolate it to answer this question the way a scientist would answer it. But here's how I would answer this question. I would say there was no cancer, or at least very limited amounts of cancer, present in the 1700s and 1800s when people ate predominantly red meat. So obviously red meat is not what's causing cancer. Now, is it the quality of red meat today? Is it the factory farming of red meat that has changed the quality of the meat? Again, if you eat a sick animal, do you get sick from it? Are the animals sick? These animals live in terrible conditions. They're fed foods that they're not genetically predisposed to eat, like grains and corn. So that makes them fatter, changes the quality of the fat. So maybe the type of red meat, maybe it's not red meat, maybe it's the red meat of today. And then there's other issues. There are other extenuating circumstances. Are these people that they are looked at, did they exercise? Did they have other, because clearly cancer, we know one thing for sure, and I would challenge any oncologist to disprove what I'm about to say. Cancer is related to inflammation, and cancer is a change in the apoptotic landscape of the body. Apoptosis stops occurring, cells that should die stop dying, and new cells arrive on time, and you have growth. And I don't care what kind of cancer it is, this is what cancer is. It's inflammation. Well, does red meat contribute to inflammation? Perhaps. If you have other inflammatory issues going on in your body, perhaps it does.
Our bodies are our whole internal environments. Like I said, guys like Claude Bernard knew the importance 100 years ago of the internal terrain. And our internal terrain has been compromised even from an oxygen standpoint in terms of being a low oxygen environment. It's much more acidic. You know, we're taught that there is good cholesterol, bad cholesterol. There's no such thing as bad cholesterol. Low density lipoproteins are carrying essential fatty acids to the cells. You can't possibly deem them bad cholesterol. Essential fatty acids are constituents in every cell membrane. They transfer oxygen across the membrane. So you start choking off LDLs. And what do? You start choking off oxygen supply to the cells. It's ridiculous. The numbers are ridiculous. They want to lower the numbers. Why? Because they get more people on their drugs.
Eat like your ancestors. Your ancestors didn't develop cancer. They didn't develop heart disease. Look at your ancestors. Look back. Try to find your lineage. Try to find out what your great-great-grandfather and great-great-grandmother were like. And look at the origins of their foods. Look in the regions of the United States they lived in. Look at their origins of their diet. Look at the way they ate. Chances are they ate lots of meats. They, you know, but now, they did not eat meats with 65 different chemicals in it, plus color food added and preservatives. You want to talk about cancer. I believe preservatives are at the root of cancer because, Randy, preservatives allow a product to resist oxidation.
Oh, we're bombarded with chemicals. It's not just the hydrogenated oils and refined sugars. It's coming from the air. It's coming from the water. It's coming from all over the place. We're a chemically forged culture. It's planet corporate chemical. Everything's chemical, industrial, pharmaceutical, you name it. It just goes on and on and on. We have so many chemicals that we're ingesting, inhaling, absorbing every day.
There is an easy solution that every one of you listening to this show today, a simple step that you can take right now, that will change the outcome of your health, okay? What you need to do is you need to find a family farm close to you and you need to drive out to that family farm and shake the farmer's hand and say, I'd like to start buying beef from you, eggs from you, and milk from you. How can I do that? I want to start buying grass-fed animals that actually live like animals. They don't live in a pen. They're not chained to something until the day they're slaughtered. They have regular lives. They walk around. They're with other cows. And then they die. The way the plains, the Indians, when they killed an animal, they prayed over it afterwards. They said, you're a good animal, and you're going to bring us nourishment, and we're going to carry you on, so on and so forth. Those were animals that lived normal lives. They didn't die of cancer, those people.
Yeah, I'd say when you go out to that farmer, offer them up them in price too. Don't try to jip them down.
Yeah, let them make a living.
They should be our upper citizens. They should have the status that the doctors have and lawyers have today, not the doctors and the lawyers. You know, the farmers should have that status. They are our lifeline. They have the food, and especially the good ones who know how to produce it. And so, but you know, a lot of people go, "I don't want to pay for that." Well, then you eat your junk.
Yeah, go back to the grocery store and get your cancer then. We're going to do a show in the very near future about how to find a family farm in your area, because I feel that this is really important. We're going to give step by step. I'm already in contact with a couple organizations. We're going to help people find family farms so that you can start buying your produce, your eggs, your meat from a family farm where you actually see how these animals are treated, the conditions that they live in.
Without exposing them to a military-style bust.
There you go. There you go. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back. Life is a continuous journey, and Change Your Life Now gives you the tools for continuous empowerment. Change Your Life Now is a practical guide to the biological process of age reversal. It's deliberately understandable and concise, so you can employ its message immediately and begin to realize the changes within days. The reader need only provide a positive attitude, desire, and discipline, and the results are guaranteed. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Change Your Life Now banner ad to learn more or to order your copy today. Don't wait another moment. Change your life now.
The federal government is more aggressive than ever prosecuting anabolic steroid-related cases. Whether you're a physician, supplement company, or citizen, ignorance of the law is not a defense. Buying from overseas pharmacies, large numbers of patients on hormone replacement therapy, and releasing new hormone-based supplements can all be red flags to the federal government. Don't take chances. You need attorneys that have years of experience defending anabolic steroid-related cases. You need J. Clark Baird and Bill Butler. Knowledge is power. Know where you stand before the federal government comes knocking. Go to SteroidDefenseLawyers.com. That's SteroidDefenseLawyers.com. Go today and be safer tomorrow.
Life is a continuous journey, and Change Your Life Now gives you the tools for continuous empowerment. Change Your Life Now is a practical guide to the biological process of age reversal. It's deliberately understandable and concise, so you can employ its message immediately and begin to realize the changes within days. The reader need only provide a positive attitude, desire, and discipline, and the results are guaranteed. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Change Your Life Now banner ad to learn more or to order your copy today. Don't wait another moment. Change your life now. Selective androgen receptor modulators represent the future of hormone replacement therapy. Institutions looking to perform research depend upon the potency and authenticity of the materials they buy. That's why your institution needs to trust Chemex for their SARMS materials. Go to chemx.net today for SARMS S4 for your research project. Don't trust the success of your project to questionable sources. Trust chemx.net. That's chemx.net. Chemex.net. We all know how effective amino acid supplements are. Well, get ready to be shocked. Amino acid supplements just reached a new level of strength. Say hello to Gear. Gear is super concentrated, super potent, and so bioavailable, it's equivalent to injectable amino acids. Gear is best used between meals to keep nitrogen balances tilted towards anabolism. Gear causes an increase in anabolic signaling that tells your muscles it's time to grow. Get Gear today by visiting needtobuildmuscle.net. Gear. This ain't your daddy's amino acid supplement.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
You know I love music. And every time I hear something hot, it makes me want to move. It makes me want to have fun. but it's something about this joint right here. This joint right here, it makes me wanna.
I love this song. I don't know why, man. This song, every time I hear this song, I just start dancing in my seat. I'm dancing right now. I mean, I don't know. I think Mary J. Blige, you know, because she's I guess she's in her 40s now. And she clearly is a physical culturist because she's got, like, beautiful shoulders and muscular biceps and triceps. She's just a beautiful, beautiful woman of color. I mean, I think she's gorgeous. But anyway. And she does some really good music. I like her songs. Anyway, we're talking today with Randy Roach, and we're talking about the changing landscape of the food chain.
It's interesting. It's in volume one, the byline to Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors, one of the bylines was the birth of bodybuilding and its amazing nutritional origins. And volume two, like we just recently decided I have to do it in two more volumes. There's too much information. Volume 2 is going to be the bylines of the glory years of modern bodybuilding and the great challenge to its nutritional legacy. And Volume 3 will be the fall of modern bodybuilding and the decline of the global dietary.
And it's sad. I mean, I almost feel, when you said that, it was like, oh my God, it's like, well, we're looking forward to the end.
No, well, no, that doesn't mean the end. That's the fall of bodybuilding doesn't mean the end of it.
No, but dietary. I mean, dietary. It's like
there's a resurgence. There are people are awakening to this nonsense that's going on, and a powerful voice is coming from the chefs of North America who are fed up with the crap that they had to work with. And they understand the value of food. They understand the real power in real food, not just for taste, but for quality. So the chefs, major chefs are standing up and saying, we want raw milk. We want a better quality food supply. And you're not going to get it in these big corporations. It's impossible. The conditions that they raise their animals are in are atrocious. It's disgusting. And the way they run other agricultural-based conglomerates is the same thing. You see how they do. They're trying to channel in sewer water to put over their crops and stuff like that.
I'm actually going to rerun two shows this week as additional shows. I'm going to rerun the show that you and I did with Dr. Schmidt about raw milk, because I actually got an email from somebody the other day who said, you know, I hear you talking about raw milk. Why don't you do a show on it? And this is obviously someone who hasn't listened to the show. I think we did that show, I want to say, 3 years ago.
It was 3 years ago. Ron kept hanging up in between commercials.
He hated to listen to the commercials. He says, I'm not going to listen to those commercials. And he would hang up. I thought that was funny.
Ron's a naturopathic cowboy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was funny. But he's a knowledgeable man. He's the one who got me eating raw meat 6-7 years ago.
Changed your life.
Yep.
And so, you know, I'm going to do that show, and I'm going to do the raw eating show that you and I did that shocked the world when you admitted that you left a chicken breast out overnight and the next day ate it raw anyway.
Yeah, a lot of people really freak out over that, and I guess I understand because I was freaking over it too at the beginning, but it's, like I said, that was a long time ago I did that.
Do you take any hydrochloric acid or digestive enzyme tablets?
No, you don't need to with raw meat. But remember, von der Planitz, who is one of the world authorities on raw food eating, he had his vagus nerve severed in surgery. Like, that man's been through hell. And with the vagus nerve, that means
the
production of HCl, hydrochloric acid, won't be there. They told him he would probably succumb to some type of bacterial infection like the elderly do, the Octarians do. But, you know, that was 30 years ago. He's been eating raw meat ever since, so it's nonsense.
Well, I read a study about 6 months ago that shows conclusively that raw meat digests in 1 hour versus 3 hours when it's cooked.
Yeah, you don't need a study. You just have to take a half pound of raw meat cube and eat it, and you're good to go. You don't even feel it in
Randy,
your stomach.
Randy, the day that you and I did the raw eating show, I drove home that day. That's when I was still doing my show inside Clear Channel Studio. I left the studio that day, went to Kroger's, bought 1 pound of Laura's Lean Beef, organic, hormone-free chopped meat, ate half of it, and didn't feel bloated or anything, ate the other half of it, and I thought, wow, that was really good. And I've eaten raw meat regularly with some regularity ever since.
I won't eat it. I'm not that anal. If I go to my mom's place and she cooks, I'll eat it. But, I mean, all my meat primarily here is raw.
Okay, so we're coming to the end of the show. Where can people go get your book? Where would you like them to get it?
They can find it on Amazon. They can go to randyroach.ca. Canadians definitely should go to randyroach.ca because I've got a better price for Canadians because our dollar is really bad.
Yeah.
So, but over in Europe, like, I mean, with the sterling pound and the euro, like, I mean, they're like $1.50 over you guys, so the book's cheap over there.
Okay, so go to randyroach.ca or amazon.com and get your copy of Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors. I promise you, if you read this book and you didn't, and you're not happy with it, send it to me and I'll personally refund your money. Randy, thanks for being on the show today.
Thanks, Carl.
And to those of you out there in Radioland, thanks for listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll see you tomorrow.